This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
So my girl, Ms. Lainey Gardner. Lainey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
It's a little bit windy today, but you know, it's a pretty day.
Yeah, it is
so
a pretty
feeling
day.
Good.
It is a pretty day. And thank you for coming out here to our studio to do this. What's been going on with you? New record out?
Man, I know. Like my first debut album. I can't even believe it. It was a pain trying to get it all done. Everyone had been talking about, you know, you're going to be sad whenever it's over. And like, you know, you put this piece of, you know, work out. And I wasn't really sad that it was over, to be honest. I was so happy about it actually coming out. So
yeah.
There was no room for sadness about it being over. But maybe it'll hit me later. I'm just glad it's done and it's out and kind of get to make my start. So
yeah. Where does the title Songwriter's Diary? I love that title, but where does it come from for you?
I'm pretty proud of that one. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of that one. I actually started it on Instagram for anybody who's kind of been following since the very beginning, since the Dreams cover. I'd started this like series of songs that I had in this little like hot pink, you know, writer journal thing. And I noticed that I was writing about everything that I was going through and like coping with things. And I started writing those songs back in like high school and just being a high school girl, and then continued it on into college and never thought I would ever release any of them. I thought it was just like a diary entry, almost pretty vulnerable like things. And but then I was like, you know what? I want to be able to put some kind of music out of my own rather than just covers all the time. So that's where a Songwriter's Diary series came from. And so I just named my first album.
Yeah. And I think it's such an important thing for your fan base that they connect with you. They connect with you. They've connected with you on socials for years now.
Yeah.
And now to get the authenticity of like, guys, this is what I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, and it seems like the response has been pretty freaking good for it.
I think everybody was excited because, you know, from the cover, no one really knew like anything about me. They just knew I was some, you know, ponytail girl on her bed with tie-dye blue sweatpants just singing a song. And so, I was excited to kind of go into like where I'm from and, you know, how I write and everything. So yeah
and talking about where you're from, obviously we had you play our Kakalaki takeover, which was a great night. We hit our goal. We raised some good money for relief, and I understand you've been going back home and helping out with stuff.
Yeah.
What's the scene in Western Carolina kind of like right now? Because it's been what, like a month?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, probably, I guess now maybe a little bit over, but yeah, people are definitely healing from everything that's happened, and we have gathered so much supplies and definitely a lot of water. There's just big like water packs just all around town, and we're very thankful for everything that everybody just donated, and so quick. Like it was really amazing to see, and especially people out here on my own team, knowing where I'm from and caring about that so much. And so we brought a big old U-Haul out there from members of my teams and other songwriters and producers, and it was really cool.
Yeah. So what was it like growing up in Western Carolina? You're in Appalachia.
Yeah.
Like you are in like,
we're in there.
Yeah, you're in there. You're in the hills, you're in the mountains, like remote area, and it's a spot that a lot of people don't get a chance to visit or quite understand. Like it's such a unique culture in and of itself.
Yeah, I think it's because we're just so like, I don't want to say off the grid, but like we are kind of up there in our own world. You know, a lot of our family and like our ancestors, you know, all grew up there, and so a lot of people just stay there. And so I have a lot of family up there that I don't even know. You know, my grandparents had like, I don't know, I think it's up in like 12, 13 kids. And so
wow.
I have a lot of cousins I don't know. And and that's how it is for a lot of families up there. Everybody just stays up there. So yeah, the culture is very old and old school. And I love where I grew up.
Yeah, what do you do for fun there? Like, what's something you and we got your little sis over there. What's something that the Gardner girls are doing for fun, like growing up? Like, what's a Friday night back home look like?
Bonfires.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
And which is pretty typical, I think, like in the South. But, you know, up there, like, we go in the middle of, we're already in the middle of nowhere being up there in the Appalachian Mountains. But, I mean, we go back into the sticks and there's some, like, river spots that we would go to and we would, you know, build a bonfire there. And, you know, the cops really couldn't really get up to us half the time.
You got some good hiding spots.
Yeah, because it was like, you're going to get up there in that little car, like that little SUV, you know, put some tires on that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun time, and everybody, I loved growing up there. And it was kind of sad whenever I would come home from college, I would just want to do that. That was the only time that I felt like I could actually do it again was there rather than out here in old big city Nashville. So.
Yeah, definitely a culture change. Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at MTSU.
Oh, no. Okay, so you've been out here for a little while.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I came out here as soon as I graduated in 17 and went to MTSU for like 3 years and then...
Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
Special place.
Oh, man. A lot of memories there.
Yeah, lots of...
A lot of things forgotten.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You definitely have that. Yeah, one of the spots that I live out here in Hermitage now, but I used to live out in Laverne, which is like kind of the middle point between the borough and Nashville.
Where would you go to party?
We would go to... I've been to Whiskey Dicks a few times.
Oh, man. Before it was moved,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, the OG. And like, I have some friends that like DJ down there, and it's like people don't realize that there's a whole scene down there.
Mm-hmm.
And people always think like you come to the Nashville area for music, like it's Belmont. But MTSU has a great program.
A lot of different people from different places, and it was pretty easy to kind of fit in there, just from how I grew up and you know what class I grew up in and like everything. So yeah, it was awesome. I got to experience a lot of different music there too.
Yeah.
Like in the mountains is very much, you know, bluegrass and country, and you know, we'd hear top 20 on the radio and hear other stuff like pop music. And but I really got to get into the R&B scene like while I was out there, and so I was a little R&B kid for a second. I had a name that I called myself. It was Lanes, and it was spelled like LAYNZ. And I, you know, I was going to be this cool, like R&B, you know, whatever. A lot of cool songs made, but, definitely not, something I truly fit into, you know. It's definitely more that country bluegrass old school.
Yeah. But I see that influence of Lanes in where Lainey Gardner's at now with the melodies that you have, and getting exposed to different styles of music, especially at that age, when you're at college age, when it's like very impressionable, like when you're in school, like that stuff, it's definitely translated to the artist you are today. At least it seems like.
I think so. And I, you know, yeah, definitely with the melodies and what I like in my music, the, you know, the 808s and stuff like, I don't know. It's fun. So yeah, that definitely sparks some creativity now.
Yeah, and it seems like right now is the perfect time for all that kind of blending to go on.
Oh,
like you can still have songs that are an ode to growing up in Western North Carolina, but then you can get creative with not just what you want to say, but how you want to say it.
Yes.
Like production, you can kind of go wherever.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite, I love all the songs on the record. One of my favorite songs by you is 6 Feet Deep.
Thank you.
It is just like, it has me just bopping around. It's got like this, the bad bitch thing to it, but it's got like this like rocking thing, and it's just so catchy. It just stays in your head over and over again. It's a damn earworm. Yeah, and you went like a lot of releases this year leading up into the album, it seems like.
Yep. We like with Daughter of a Gun and even House of Mirrors, just more of that spooky-esque and, I don't know, Better Luck Next Guy is more of that, you know, dancey kind of stuff. And
Yeah,
we were not all over the place, but we kind of just, you know, I was an independent artist, so I was like, I can just release whatever I want and like whatever. And it still kind of is that way. But, you know, I definitely am more into telling a story and kind of showing more of a growth within my artistry and kind of given a world to live in each time. So with each song or album. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's it been like having a team around you now?
Awesome. I have a really, really good team. And you know, in the beginning, it was kind of just, you know, experimenting with different people and, you know, not having the right fits and everything. And I'm thankful for all of it because now I can kind of look at my team now and just be so thankful that everybody's on the same page and everybody, you know, we want to see each other succeed. And I think that's really important with teams and anybody who you're around. So.
Yeah, and to be a part of like an artist roster at the label that you're at and to get to see all that and to get to learn from folks who have been doing it a little bit longer than you too.
Yeah.
Like you're in a great fucking spot, sis.
Oh man, I don't know how I got so lucky, but
it's the hard work and it's the creativity and it's you being you, you know? Like we first met, I think it was we did that that event at Live Oak and I had you hop on the live pod there.
In front of everyone. That was new.
Live podcasts are interesting. I've gotten to do them at a few festivals now because I used to work in radio. So like I've done like the radio remote thing where you're at some like 5K or like the local appliance stores opening up. We're gonna send Matt out there, just have him talk to random people and see if he catches. But we appreciate you doing that. But like that was what, like 2 years ago, last year, something like that. It was somewhere in that range.
It might have been like two years ago. Close to it.
Yeah. So now to see where you're at, like fast forwarding, it's fucking awesome.
It's going pretty fast, and the closer we get to kind of that, you know, big moment, aside from the Dreams cover, we can just see things kind of connecting now. So we've been kind of flying underneath the radar for a little bit, so we're excited to kind of actually get to show everything that we've been working on and what we're so excited about. So
and you've gotten to put out some incredible music videos. The Cry music video,
oh man,
what a production.
As Ryan Hood, man, and The Definition, they're fantastic. And it's just them two, you know, and they just have such a creative eye, and I'm just so blessed to be able to work with them and be able to find my own confidence. And, you know, they make me feel comfortable with so many things, and I'm finding pieces of myself that I never thought were there, especially in the Cry video.
Yeah.
I've never done anything like that. And, you know, so it was cool.
You seemed like you were natural at it, though. Honestly, man. Mark and I were talking like you. It was like, Lena looks like a damn Hollywood actress here. Like all dolled up. And I love the transition of like the black and white and the color and the storytelling. I think it captured the song so well through the video.
Yeah, that was Ryan Hood and Jonathan Craig and The Definition, man. I wish I could take credit for that whole creative production, but you know, I brought them the song and they just brought it to life. So it was awesome. Yeah. It was really cool to see.
Yeah. What was it like getting in like 10 tracks? That's a hefty amount of music to be put in the one project. Was it tough, like picking out what songs were going in there? Did you kind of have them going back to the diary days? Like what was that process like for you?
It was hard not to be able to put everything in the songwriter's diaries on there, but it was the songs that spoke to me the most, and they really just let me build the whole thing. Whatever you want on there, you put on there. And I just really appreciated that, as any artist I think would, you know, dream for, is having a team that just lets you do everything that involves like your vision. And it was a cool moment for me to be able to create something like that. And obviously have the producers on there, like Evan Klein and Kip Williams and Andrew Bayless. Like they're all so incredibly
Bayless
talented,
is
man.
The dude, man. I freaking love Bayless.
Love Bayless. He's so chill. And like, you just, you know, you look at him and you're like, at first I didn't know if Bayless liked me or not. You know, he's kind of got one of those poker faces of just like,
It's the old rock guy thing. Yeah. That's just how those rock guys are.
Yeah. But yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. Glad I really love the work that he does. He's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's a guy that you see him at Red Door and then you're
that's
like
where I met him.
You're like, oh shit, we're about to go on a journey. Like you're with Bayless. You see Bayless and at a table in the smoking section at Red Door. You're like, oh boy, all right, it's gonna be one of those nights.
Yeah, out there on the forge.
I'm gonna be here till the red lights turn yellow, you know?
That's where I met Bayless, and you know, I don't totally remember the night that I met Bayless.
I don't think
entirely.
I don't think anybody does. When you meet somebody at Red Door, but those are some of the best friendships and connections that you make is just by going out to the bars here.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I met a lot of the people I know now in the industry, and also just my friends outside of the industry. It's all at Red Door, man. And I may have had to meet them a couple times, you know, to remember their names, because I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like that's a Nashville thing. You meet people and you'll remember their face and remember the night that you have, but sometimes the name just kind of escapes you.
Yeah, you remember the face. And that was something like when I used to work on Broadway, my old roommate Dakota, he used to, whenever he'd bring the same flannel and the same hat to change into when we got off our shift from doing security. And I'm like, dude, why are you wearing the same stuff? You got a whole closet full of shit. Why are you wearing the same thing? He's like, dude, people will remember that you're the guy that wears this black and red flannel and this hat. He's like, all the bartenders will know you. We'll get the industry discounts working downtown. All that stuff, because you meet so many people that you do forget. But what was it like for you kind of those early days of, so it was North Carolina to Murfreesboro, and then was it Murfreesboro straight to Nashville? Was it Murfreesboro back home? Was there like a back and forth period or what?
It was Murfreesboro straight to Nashville. And I basically had to end my lease early because all the co-writes started out there and all the meetings, and I would have to drive like 45 minutes to an hour depending on traffic. And because everything came so fast, I had to move to Nashville pretty much, you know, immediately. So yeah, it was straight there.
Yeah, and what year would that have been?
That was, I think, at the edge of 2021, so still COVID area.
Yeah.
So I think it was right at the beginning of 2021.
So you were in college during COVID.
Yeah.
What an interesting time. Luckily, you were in college in Tennessee during COVID.
Well,
because it's a different thing. I know college campus, like it's, I just can't imagine like kids grad, like monumental moments of like you're graduating high school in 2020 or you're starting kindergarten in 2020. Yeah. You're in college in 2020. Like that had to be like just a whirlwind. And your music stuff was kind of going at that point, or did it kind of start post pandemic or in the middle of it? Or,
I mean, like I said, like I had been writing music, I would be sent like beats or whatever. And so I would write them in my house, and I had like a little portable studio. So I would send vocals to somebody and I'd be like, you know, make this cool or what, you know, whatever. But yeah, I was actually taking a semester off of college cause I figured COVID would be done within a semester and I'd be able to go back. So I was like, I'm not going to school in a mask. I just don't want to do it. Yeah. And I also was at a weird point in my life where I'm getting close to graduating, you know, the music thing hasn't started yet, hasn't launched off, and so I was like, I just need more time. And I told mom, I said, I feel like something big is going to happen this year. I don't know what. I said, but if my music career doesn't start this year, or by the end of the year, then I'll go back to school and I'll graduate with whatever I have and I'll just get a regular job. And like, I just said, I feel like I need just a little bit more time. And that's when the Dreams cover happened. And so I dropped out.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it all worked out. What were you studying in college? What would a regular job, what would Lainey be doing if she wasn't doing music?
Man, I was studying music business because it was like, I'm either going to do the music thing or I'm going to do it. So it was like, I knew I would need to know things about the music industry as an artist so I don't get screwed over. I still did, you know. I still did. But anyway, that was my whole like plan. That was my whole strategy. So if I didn't get into music, I probably maybe would have went back and tried to go into like some kind of therapy, because that was something that's always fascinated me, is just helping people. With words and like messages, you know, similar to songwriters.
I was
going to
say,
artists.
you're doing that right now for guys and girls around the world by releasing the songs that you've released.
I'm trying to.
No, you're doing it. You are doing it.
Thanks. Thank you. What did you want
to
do?
So I wanted to be, I went to college and wanted to be on ESPN. I wanted to do like how I'm doing like this podcast thing right now, like talking into a microphone. I wanted to do like sports media.
Cool.
And then I got into like, I had a country music show on my college radio station. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to country shows and it just, scooped me up, and I'm like, I gotta work in music. I wanted to work in country radio, and then I moved down here wanting to do that. Couldn't get a job doing that, so I bounced and started a podcast. Ended up out on tour with a few different people doing merch and tour managing, and now I co-own Raise Rowdy. It's pretty crazy, but
you know, you don't really know how it happens. I think a lot of it is like hard work, but it's also a little bit of luck.
Yeah,
I really do believe that.
Right place, right time.
Yes, yeah.
A lot. What are some moments for you that are like right place, right time? Like you talk about like meeting a guy like Bayless at Red Door. What's like an early like relationship or friendship that you think kind of got the wheels going, got the motor running?
I think I had a friend back in college who was my oldest friend for a while now, and we've went our separate ways now. But I was at the college little. I can't even remember what we called it, McCallie's or I don't know. It's some kind of little lunch hall at MTSU. And I was emptying my tray. And I guess from other friends showing other friends that I sang and like my YouTube videos, he had found out about it. He was like, hey, you're a really good singer. He was like, we should do some music together. And we should big, ambitious guy. And he was like, you know, let's do some stuff together. And that was kind of a right place, right time, because he essentially introduced me to my manager now, Jonathan Craig. And so, yeah, that's probably a big thing that happened there. And also with the whole right place, right time with the Dreams video. It was during COVID and like everybody was kind of cooped up in their houses. And I'm sure that pushed it, but. Yeah, I don't really know. There's probably other things that I'm just oblivious about, but
yeah, it's like, it was like the Wild West.
Yeah,
TikTok, and it's like, is TikTok going away? Is it here to stay? Mm-hmm. What's the longevity of this thing? And now, fast forward 4 years, and it's still like it's a huge, huge tool and like a huge platform for guys and girls doing the music thing, the comedy thing, like whatever. Yeah. You know, you can watch cooking videos on there. Like I still don't get it. I wish I spent time during COVID learning it, like how to really do the video stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just not good at it. You know? Personally, that's something Nikki T and I talk about because he's not very good at it either. So it's like figuring out, but so that Dreams video, had you been posting on TikTok and stuff before that? Or was it kind of like a first video, like, oh shit, I got to keep doing this?
During the time, I was actually posting a lot of just like the trends on TikTok.
Oh, dances and stuff?
Yeah, to try to get some kind of fan base to be able to then put my own songs out on TikTok or covers or anything. But yeah, that's why I was doing the TikTok trends, but I was also posting a cover here and there. And the Dreams one just decided to pop off. And, you know, that's how that happened. I didn't really have much of a fan base at all before. It was just my friends and like friends from back home and parents and grandparents and family and whatever. But yeah, so it jumped pretty significantly from, I don't know, like 1,500 followers to hundreds of thousands.
What's it at now?
Oh, man.
Or do you try not to look at it? I know a lot of artists that don't even try not to look at it because then you get caught up just looking at your freaking phone the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think on Instagram, I think it might be like 319K.
Wow.
And then like on YouTube, it's like 500 something. Like it's just like crazy. Numbers became numbers at some point during that time. It was just so overwhelming. And I kind of just like cut it off because I don't know. I just wasn't processing it very efficiently. And
yeah, so. Like 300,000. That's like five Nissan stadiums. That's like five or six Nissan stadiums. That's crazy.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
It's crazy. And then you've gotten to do some touring stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten to go out on the road
and
experience that. What was that like initially? Had you done shows like back home, or was this again like the Dreams cover just kind of translates to, oh shit, people want to see me. Oh shit, here's a booking. Here's a booking agent. I want to send you out on the road.
And I'm like, okay, I've never been there, but like, okay. So I grew up and the furthest we ever made it out of my hometown was like Mississippi. And I went out there to sing the national anthem for the professional bull riding.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like PBR, which is like kind of crazy. And, my brother had a friend and his dad, Jeff Robinson, he had a couple bulls in there. And so he had a little bit of say so and like, hey, you should look at this girl. She sings for our football games and our basketball games. So that was really cool. And that was the furthest I'd ever been away from home. And then now with all the tours, you know, I'm flying across the country, and we went to Canada this year, which was crazy.
Yeah.
That was the first time singing out in a different country. And yeah, it's been really great. And I've had a lot of opportunities just from other artists giving me that, like Jelly Roll and Chase Rice. And that just connections, man, and just loving people. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah. What was the, you remember your first show?
So
not
what?
Your first show, not in Mississippi, but your first show, like since all this stuff kind of started taking off. Do you remember where it was?
I think it was, I was opening for the Jonas Brothers in Franklin, Tennessee. And that was at the little, I call it Baby Red Rocks.
Yeah. The amphitheater.
Yeah. And that was my first show.
Opening for the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah. I don't know. I was terrified. I kind of blacked out on the whole thing. I'm like, I'm getting ready to have to go, you know, sing in front of mid-20s screaming girls who are still, you know, Jonas Brothers fans. And, you know, it was a little bit scary, but their fan base is so, like, welcoming, and they were, you know, excited for me, and they would shout things, you know, yeah, girl, go, girl. And it was just like, all right, you know, this is cool. So, yeah, that was my first show.
That's a hell of a first show.
Man.
That's a crazy first show.
Well, it was scary.
Yeah, I bet. But luckily, that's one where you get to sleep in your own bed. You're not far from home, which is nice. So you've gone to Canada. Have you done like West Coast, Northeast? Like, have you kind of gotten to go everywhere?
Yeah, I went on a tour with ZZ Ward, and that was like an acoustic run. And so I just had me and a guitar player and my manager's assistant at the time. And so we just kind of went out there and did a whole tour, and we driving around in a Ford Escalade. I think is what it's called. I don't know.
Ford Explorer, maybe.
Maybe.
Or
probably.
Expedition or one of those.
Expedition, something like that. Something that starts with an 80.
Big SUV.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And so we did the whole tour and driving 13 hours in a day. And then, like, the next day, driving like 10 hours. And, like, it was horrible. But it was really fun to be able to meet some of the people there and meeting some of the fans. And, it was really cool. It was really cool. That was my first like tour experience.
Yeah.
So I haven't had one yet, but hopefully we're holding out for next year for some.
Yeah.
For
well,
some
you,
cool
well, you've got to do some festivals too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The festivals were really cool.
Well, you did a tailgate in Tall Boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one that we're very involved with.
That was
is
fun.
Tailgate and Tall Boys. Those guys that run that festival are wild.
Yeah.
But we love them. And they're so big about supporting like artists on their way up.
Yeah.
With their venue in Peoria, Illinois, Cruisins and all of that. And then did I see that you're doing Stagecoach next year?
Yes. I'm so excited for Stagecoach. I did not think that was going to come so soon, but man, like people pulled some strings for me and took a chance on me. So hopefully everything goes well and
You got to start saying people aren't pulling strings. It's because the reception to your music has been good. It's because you're freaking killing it. that stuff doesn't just happen. It comes from, they have artists out there that people want to see and that are doing the thing and have traction, and you're doing the thing and have a lot of traction. Like it's not just, you gotta feel like you can't have this imposter syndrome. I know we all get it, but you gotta like know, like you've earned where you're at right now.
Well, I appreciate that.
You
Thank
have
you.
Seriously. And a song on the Twister soundtrack.
Oh man. Yeah. Where did that come from? I don't know. I think what made me the most excited about that whole thing was Miranda Lambert was on the soundtrack, and I'm a huge fan of Miranda Lambert.
Yeah.
Everyone probably knows that about me now. I mentioned her and everything. She's my biggest idol, and that was really cool to be able to be a part of that in a movie. Like, I don't know, really cool.
In a big movie that a lot of people actually went to the theaters to watch, which doesn't really happen anymore. I went and saw that movie.
Yeah, it was good. I wanted to see it in 4DX. I heard it's pretty intense in 4DX.
In 4DX.
Yeah, they had it in 4DX, and we went to actually go try to see it again. And I think they had already taken it away, but the Deadpool and Wolverine was in 4DX, and I was like, let's just go try it. First 4DX experience, and man, if you're not careful, like those chairs will throw you out of the.
So the chair's moving.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, like they are like jolting, and because this was like a big fight movie.
Yeah.
you could like feel the punches in your back, and like whenever they make big punches or shoves, if the chair would do it. It was insane. You have to try.
I'm gonna have to go. I'm adding that on my list to do. I'm gonna tell my girlfriend, hey, we're going to the movies, and she's gonna be like, you didn't tell me it was gonna be all this. I'm gonna surprise her with it.
Yeah.
4DX, let's go.
Yeah, there's like wind like in the seats, and there's like water that will spray in your face, and like it's insane. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Where do they have those around here?
It's at the Opry Mills.
They have that at Opry Mills?
Yeah, that's where we went.
Were they pulling the water from the water park over there? Who
knows? I don't know. That's actually probably a valid question. Who knows has been sprayed in my face the whole however many hours.
Jesus, that sounds crazy. I'm going to have to get over there and do that. So you talked about like Miranda Lambert, who are like some other artists that we wouldn't even expect. Like I heard you're going to a big concert here soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billie Eilish. We're going to see her tomorrow. So I'm excited to see her. I like her music. I don't take too much inspiration from Billie Eilish, but I do like her music.
Yeah.
Here recently, I really like Parker McCollum.
Yeah.
I like the purity in his voice, and it's, you know, the things he sings about. It's just really nice. And Chris Stapleton.
Just going on those runs.
Dude, I love runs.
And he changed the game.
Yeah, man.
He really did.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of different ways.
Yeah. He's pretty incredible. Everyone always asks me this question, and I never really, I don't think I've really sat down as, you know.
What's on your Spotify right now? Like, who are you listening to? Like that kind of thing. Doesn't have to be like inspiration, because it's important to folks that are artists have to still go and listen and enjoy other artists or enjoy listening to music. Like that's part of the reason you got into it, is because you love music.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we don't really notice that we're taking like inspirations from other people. It kind of just like melts into, you know, how we create and everything. And I don't know. I really loved Greta Van Fleet for a while.
Oh, they're sick.
Yeah, man. I really loved them. I liked Dorothy.
Okay. Yeah.
She's,
yeah.
She's more rock. Even like some of my friends, like Dylan Marlowe, I love his stuff.
Dylan's the shit.
He's awesome.
He was one of the first kids I met in town.
Really?
We moved here about the same time in 2018. So
yeah, his tour manager was one of the first. And oh, his guitar player, David Medlin.
Yeah. David's sick, he's a beast.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's so funny. I met him in college. I met him at MTSU.
Oh, nice.
We used to play together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's really cool.
He's a tour manager. You're talking about Screech?
Screech, yeah.
Screechers. I've actually had Dylan and Screech on this podcast together.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. Yeah, so known them. I've met Dylan. Dylan played my first round that I ever had.
He
was one of my first. He used to play my round like once a month, like back in the day. Like he's one of the OG homies. So to watch him doing what he's doing. And that's what's cool too about being in town now for a little while is you're getting to... You're growing, but you're getting to watch people grow around you that have been your homies.
Yes, yes. It's been cool to watch. I think a big thing that a lot of us talk about is like comparing ourselves and like comparing ourselves to the other one, and just seeing all the cool things that they're doing. And it's sometimes it can get discouraging, but something that I've kind of have been comforted by is, you know, when it's your time and it's going to come, and you just have to believe that and just keep doing what you're doing and doing what you do best, and encouraging other people to kind of do what they do best. And so, it's nice to have community within the music industry to be able to like kind of rant, like talk about this stuff and be, you know, comforted by each other. And so it's nice to have those friends there. So.
Yeah, it's important to have friends that are that understand it and are in the industry with you, but it's also important to have friends that aren't in the industry so that you get that break from it.
That outsider perspective.
That is, outsider perspective, or just have friends that you don't talk about music stuff with. Like we all find ourselves like out at Red Door or out at Losers or the Duck Blind or Live Oak or wherever, and we find ourselves being like, oh, so you've been on the road, oh, this, that, oh, I've been working on this, oh, you want to write sometime? But then it's nice to have homies that are like, did you watch this show on Netflix, you know, to mix up the conversation and everything. And it's important, I think, too, and I learned this in AA, like to identify with someone versus compare.
Mm.
you know.
Love that.
Because that'll drive you up a wall. Oh, and it's important. You got to have your blinders on.
Yeah.
You know, and we even have to do that with like Raised Rowdy because there's other folks that do what we do, you know. And it's like having those friendships and high tides raise all ships.
Absolutely.
And growing together is so important. Yeah. So what do you like doing when you're not doing music stuff?
Oh, man. I really love family and friend time. I think that's something that kind of gets taken away with being an artist is you're just so busy and you don't really have time to kind of just like chill out and like, I don't know, like go to dinner and, you know, go to a movie at the movie theater, like just doing like regular things that you were doing, go to a bonfire.
Yeah.
That's something I truly like. I enjoy doing just being with my family and my friends. So I know it sounds like BS, but
no, that's true. And how many, so you've got little sis over there. How many, do you have any other siblings too?
I do. I have another sister. She's the oldest. And then my brother, he's a second. And then I was the third. And then Lee is the baby.
Yeah.
So
it seems like you're close with your family.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're very, very close.
And that's important. That's so important to have, even with being a couple hundred miles away, mm-hmm. like you are.
Yeah. Yeah. They have all supported me and they're so excited that I get to do things like this and like, you know, get to go and meet people, meet cool people and go and do shows and get to travel the, you know, country. And so, yeah, they've always been so supportive. And I don't know how I got so lucky to have such a, you know, supportive community around me, including my family. So, yeah. Love them.
Well, that's good. Good things happen to good people, and you happen to be a great person, and there's great shit happening for you. So it all makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
So family and friends time, do you still go out as much as you used to, or do you feel like it's tougher now with being on the road as much, being on the road and like the process of getting this album out and everything, where it's like I can't be out at Red Door till 3 in the morning anymore?
Yeah, you have to kind of put your priorities in place, and you have to kind of sacrifice some of those fun, you know, FOMO, you know.
Yeah, getting over the FOMO when you first get here, it is tough to get over and not get that FOMO stuff.
Because something always happens, you know. Every night something happens.
Every
when you
night.
Meet someone new, you know, there's drama. So you got to be like, you know, told about the next day, and it's, oh, man, you know, I would have paid to be there to see that, you know, whatever. I just recently started dating somebody. Well, I guess not recently anymore. It's almost a year ago. And you know, it kind of gave me a perspective of like what my future is going to look like aside from music industry and like family and, you know, wanting to settle down at some point. And, I think so too. I think going out and like heavily drinking, to be honest, just really had started to kind of take a toll on me and took a toll on my life. And so I don't go out as often anymore. And I'm glad I don't. I'm able to do things that I can, you know, remember and like things that, you know, in my career, I'm able to be in a good headspace the next day to go and create.
Yeah.
And so, like I think I went out enough like in my, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah.
So I think I'm settling down a little bit though. And
I think I saw he was your man's was at the benefit thing that we did, right?
Yeah.
I saw him. You could always tell you have a good guy when he's carrying your guitar. I noticed that with a lot of my friends that are songwriters and artists, and I forget his name. What's his name?
Fisher Perry.
And he seemed like a really nice guy. So congrats on that. It's nice to have a person.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And he's not in the music industry.
Yeah, same with my girlfriend. She's not in the industry either, which is a very nice like blessing, because again, it gives you that break.
Yes, I think a lot of people prefer it. Just talking to other artists and their significant others, they're not in the music industry, and it kind of just gives them a break to like you were saying before. You know, did you see this on Netflix? Or like, you know, did you see, you know, I don't know. Even if it's like stupid little drama, you know, did you see what she said about, you know?
Yeah.
Did you see what, you know, it's just like normal world things. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And to get you out of the Nashville bubble.
Yeah.
Too, because we all get in a bubble when we live here.
Consumed by it.
Which I kind of like being in the bubble, because then you don't see what's going on as much in the outside world when there's bad stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like you get caught up in it. So it's nice to have a little break from that. So Album out now. What else do we got for the rest of this year? Are we kind of coasting into the new year right now?
Okay, so we're going to come out with another album next year, pretty early next year.
No shit.
Second album already. We're ready to go.
Let's go. Hey, so, that's awesome. Okay. High five to that. That's fucking awesome.
I'm excited for this, you know, bigger production stuff to come out. Just, you know, get people to dance and, you know, have something to cruise to. Something to party with, and like, I don't know, I'm so excited for this second album, just to show that growth and what we've been working on for the last, like, I guess maybe like year and a half, 2 years now. Yeah. So it's some good music coming up, I'll tell you right
let's
now.
Go. Well, it's cool that it seems like Diaries was like chapter one,
yeah,
and this is going to be chapter two.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is so cool. As somebody who loves music and just sits around and listens to music all day long, like getting to watch that and we're gonna get to grow with you and see what the diary chapter was like,
oh, yeah.
and then see what this next one of you being in town for a little while yeah. and growing is like. So that's yeah. exciting.
Yeah. It's like it's kind of the thing of like venturing into, you know, like the high school, college kid to now like a woman and just like kind of your own person and everything that you've went through has shaped the person you are today and who you want to be
yeah.
and like all of this. So I don't know. I love a good like story. It's something that I've always admired with other artists. And it was just so inspiring to be able to leave something here when you're gone. So yeah, I'm excited.
That's fucking awesome. That's great. That's great. Well, I appreciate you so much for coming out here.
Thank you for having me.
And hanging, anything that we can do in the Raised Rowdy world, and Mark over there knows it too. Anything we can do,
man.
we are Team Lainey Gardner, and we're down to help you in any way that we can, sis.
Well,
so
you guys have done like so much already with, you know, with the benefit, and obviously giving me an opportunity to get in front of people and share my music. So
yeah.
Man, I just thank you for everything that y'all have done already.
Yeah, but seriously, and I can't wait to be like, we go to a lot of festivals and go to a lot of shows, and can't wait to see what the calendar looks like next year as
me
far
too,
as
man.
Tours and everything, because it's gonna be happening, and it's great to see it all working, you know.
We're excited. We're ready for it to go, man.
Yeah,
we're ready for it to
yeah,
go.
And have fun at the Billie Eilish concert.
Thank you.
I was telling them before, like, I think every guy has gone through a slight Billie Eilish phase.
Yeah.
Like, I listened to it, like, right before COVID when we fall asleep, where do we go? Like,
yeah.
that era of
man.
It. It was cool. So
really
that'll be cool. And it's fun to obviously go and perform and do your own shows. But it's awesome to go to a show, not have to worry about anything,
yes.
just taking a night of music, and to do it with your little sister. It's gonna
be
badass.
Totally. I'm excited. I wish my other siblings got to come, but you know, I'm glad that she's here, and I'm gonna be able to have like some of my other friends come out, and obviously Fisher, and it's just gonna be a good time. We're really excited.
Awesome.
It's gonna be. I might fangirl. Like, it's fun to fangirl sometimes.
Yeah,
you need
that.
Yeah. So
it's important to do that.
For sure.
It's important to go and enjoy things and not have to worry about, oh, what, how long's my set got to be? What time
totally.
Do I have to load in? Oh, I got to do, or is the crowd reacting to my thing all right? Am
yeah.
I sounding all right? Is there a production issue? Like,
yeah.
just
who's going to throw something at me tonight?
Have you had that happen?
No, I've had a bra thrown, but that was about it. So,
okay.
But nothing crazy. Like, I saw a video of Megan Maroney. She had like a bottle
yeah.
thrown at her. And like on the other side of this phone, and I'm like, how could they do that to her? She's so nice, and like,
yeah.
and obviously with like Morgan having all the crap that's been thrown at him, and so, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous.
You're gonna be okay. You just gotta be quick. You gotta keep
yeah.
your head on a swivel. You'll be quick. I'm sure it'll all work out. But Lainey, appreciate you so much for coming on, guys. A Songwriter's Diary by Lainey Gardner. The album is out right now. Some great songs. Go and watch that Cry music video too, because it is freaking awesome.
Thank
and
you.
Is it the website? Is it laineygardner.com?
Oh,
do we
man.
Know?
Oof.
Just Google Lainey Gardner,
yeah,
and it'll take you to everywhere you need to go. And be sure to give her a follow on Instagram and TikTok, and be on the lookout for album two coming. And go enjoy album one, and then album two coming at the top of next year. Well, thank you guys as always for watching. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. You like the Surfside, huh?
Oh, heck yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna send you home with a 4-pack of these.
Sure.
They also make
send me home.
They also make a lemonade. They make a half and half, like half iced tea, half lemonade, and
oh,
some
man.
Flavored lemonades, and a peach tea, and I believe they have a green tea now as well.
Ooh.
So shout out to our friends from Surfside. We appreciate y'all very much. They're crushable. Go check them out. And for more on us, be sure to visit visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my girl Lainey, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two.